o'clock. Everybody, I'm sure, has places they want to be tonight. So we'll go ahead and start the comp plan steering committee meeting. It's Thursday, June 16th. Welcome, everybody. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Kozlowitz is absent. Frieders?
Here.
Jerez?
Here.
Bob Devo?
Here.
Walter?
Here.
Sessish?
Here.
Parker?
Here.
Weaver? Gockman?
Here.
Dickens?
Here.
Hansen?
Here.
Stevens is absent. Shokatis is absent. Schimp? Absent. Goins?
Here.
And Mann is absent. Thank you.
All right. Did everybody have a chance to go over last or January 28th meeting minutes? If not, please go over now. If there's any corrections that need to be made, please let us know. We don't need to approve them, or do we?
Yes.
Okay. And then I will, if after everybody goes over that, we'll take a motion to approve. Any citizens' comments? Seeing none, we'll go on to new business. Nick, are we ready for our presentations?
Thank you. For those of you who don't remember me, I think it's been since January, since we were last year. My name is Nick Calogeresis, and I'm with the LaCour Group. And you were the lead planning firm for this assignment. I have with me Jim Patsonet for T1 International, who helped us with the transportation component. And the other firm that worked with us is Goodman Williams Group as well. So our attempt for tonight is to go over the draft plan one more time. And we're at a stage where it's going to start the adoption process. And we wanted to get one more chance to present the plan in front of you before that process starts. And to get any more comments, things that we need to consider, whether adding or deleting from the plan. And I believe the next couple of weeks we're supposed to meet with the Economic Development Committee. And from there, I'll go to the Planning and Zoning Commission and to the City Council. So we're kind of looking at August for the plan to be adopted. So today, our purpose today is to go over the plan one more time. We have made some revisions. We have made some additions to the plan. And I think we want to focus on that today as well as sort of review sort of the overall plan goals and strategies here. So that's where our intent is, and we have a short PowerPoint to at least go over some of those things as well, and to take your questions and comments as we go forward. So that's what our intent here is today, and hopefully we can be out fairly soon and enjoy the nice summer weather that seems to be out there and remains for us. So as I start the PowerPoint, I do want to say that we've had a very, on the wrong slide. We've had a very enjoyable time doing this plan, and Christy has been a tremendous help to us, as well as other city staff, and so it's really, and Jim and I were talking on the way out here, it's been one of the more enjoyable comp plans we've done for the community, so we're very fortunate that we've been a part of this process. So hopefully I can work this slide show correctly. So, as I've said, we are sort of at the end of this process, and it has been kind of a long, it's been a long process, but I think it's been pretty productive. It's been a two-year process. We're in the middle of the third phase, and this is the final steering committee meeting. And we will ask a two-week time frame to take your comments, make changes and revisions. We do have a few more illustrations to add to it, actually. So what you see here is not the end of it. We still have a couple more illustrations to prepare. But overall, the plan is probably 90% there, 92% there. So we're at almost the conclusion of the planning process. And just to give you an overview, as you know, this plan is in two parts. The first part is sort of the state of the city part of it, which has a lot of the data that we needed to generate to sort of understand where Yorkville is, and then use that data to develop the comprehensive plan, which is in the second part. So there's two parts of this plan. I'm sure you've read over part one many, many times. So I'm not going to go over part one at all today. I'm just going to give us a little bit of highlights, but then really more discuss part two, which is the actual comp plan. So, you know, the major issues that came out of the state of the city, a lot of it during the community engagement process, in particular when we talked to people and we did a lot of stakeholder interviews and a couple of workshops, is downtown, Yorkville being very, very important, community infrastructure, housing being a particular point of issue for the community, community appearances, and if I could read some of these, parks and open space, being very, very important, the commercial areas, and how do we sort of manage growth going in the future is being very, very important. So those were some of the key issues. Overall, there were 12 key issues that we focused on in this comprehensive plan. And they're listed on page 14 within the comprehensive plan document. So going forward, I'm not going to focus on the state of the city, but talk about, you know, the overall comprehensive plan. At the very beginning of the comprehensive plan, on page 79, is a vision statement. And that's sort of a description about where we want to go as a community. So we've had a chance to read it and to think about it a little bit. But I think the major themes in that vision statement are, first of all, encouraging a better mix of land uses. And I'll talk more about that as we go forward. So, we want to encourage a more broad, diverse set of land uses so it could broaden the overall community tax base. Really focusing on downtown, as I said, that was really a big key issue through this process. People really want to see something happen in the downtown, so we really spent a lot of time focusing on that. Sustainable residential development, and what that means is, how do we, make sure we plan for sustaining residential development that keeps pace with the infrastructure that we have, that matches the overall market demand that's out there right now. Probably the big theme throughout this whole plan is it's not 2007 anymore. It's 2016, so we got to really kind of rethink our land use. So I'll talk more about the land use in a moment. And then, having a more well-connected transportation system, and then we'll talk about that a little bit later, especially with your bike trails and things like that. Enhancing parks and recreation space. And, one of the prime features of the plan, focusing on downtown, is a potential expansion of the Riverfront Park, really being a focus of expanding that amenity. Placemake Yorkville, and what we talk about is try to better define from a character point of view, visual character point of view, what does Yorkville look like? And we have in several different parts of the plan, we talk about gateways, we talk about wayfinding signage, things like that can better define Yorkville as a community because we're everywhere. We're kind of a big mass right now, and how do we define ourselves a little bit better? And then high-quality community services. And we heard quite a lot about the high-quality schools, the municipal services, and so how do we continue to build on that? So that's really kind of the vision statement overall. And if you have any comments on the vision statement, or is it something you don't like, how it's worded, please let us know. We'll always change it. That's really, the vision statement kind of defines the overarching goal that we have as a community. And then, I'm not going to go into this in a lot of great detail, but on page 78 in the comprehensive plan are the big framework land use goals that we have. And we do a number of comprehensive plans around the area, and each comprehensive plan is different that we work with. And this plan really does focus a lot on land use and, you know, how do we grow. This compared to some other communities we looked at. So really, we really kind of focus on land use quite a lot in this plan. And as I said earlier, some of the goals are is we want to sort of diversify the land uses. In particular, can we do some mixed-use development in the downtown? Can we encourage different forms of residential development to happen? Could it be more townhomes or more apartments? State of the City kind of identified that need to sort of have more different types of housing opportunities in Northville so that we can attract more people into the community. Downtown being very important, we were also tasked with looking at the corridors here in Northville, so we'll talk more about that in a moment. The neighborhoods, and then promoting more high-quality design in subdivisions. Growing the open space network in a way that doesn't burden the city, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. We've already talked about a complete transportation network, and then a systematic approach to growth. And what we mean by that is, again, we're not 2007, so where are we going to grow? We have a number of subdivisions that, you know, haven't been platted or don't have their entitlements, and so are they going to be residential areas in the near term? Probably not. And so our plan kind of addresses that in a very systematic way. So anyway, those are sort of the broad land use policies and goals. And you probably recognize in the plan, there's several chapters. We have the overall land use strategy. Then we have what is called Prosperous Town, which kind of focuses on downtown and your commercial areas. And then we have Northville Neighborhoods, and then which focuses on the residential areas. And then we have a chapter of Community Systems, which focuses on your roadway network and your infrastructure. Each chapter has a preface that has a set of goals and set of policies. And so, you know, as we go forward and we adopt this plan, these are the goals and strategies we're going to sort of implement as we go forward. So, in the last visit, I think my colleague probably went over the land use map, and so we did make some changes to land use. As you're probably aware, a land use map sort of guides us in terms of how we zone areas in the future. And so we made some adjustments to the future land use map. This is the existing land use, and you can see green is mainly kind of agricultural and open space. And the yellow is mainly residential, and the red is the commercial, the purple is industrial. So those are sort of the major land use categories. In the future land use map, we've made some changes. We're not talking about zoning now, we're kind of leaving the zoning out, and we're looking at how we're going to use the land in the future. This map kind of reflects current conditions pretty closely, this future land use map. So a lot of this land that you see down here, we're not taking the Prairie Parkway into account. It's not going to happen from what we know. So this land is mainly going to stay kind of agricultural, mainly. We are going to have more residential, obviously. We have some new color here, which is a dark brown, and that's where we're kind of going to encourage a little bit more higher density residential in terms of, you know, townhomes, apartments. We think this area, near commercial core here at 47 and around 34, it would be important to have some more higher density residential that can support the commercial in that area. We think that would be an ideal area for some of that. We do, as a future land use, encourage some industrial use up here, mainly because of its access to Elder Main Road. And again, whether this is going to happen or not in the next 5 years or 10 years, we don't know. But we think that would be an ideal place to probably have some future industrial. We do recommend expanding the industrial along the Fox Industrial Park. And again, we're not sure. The market is telling us that this is long term. But we think these are areas where we want to concentrate growth. In the middle part of Yorkville, we call this the traditional part of Yorkville, where you have the downtown and the older residential areas. And this is an area where you want to kind of maintain its character. invest in the streets, certainly invest in the downtown. And as again, as I've said, we've heard loud and clear that downtown is really important. So these are sort of the major land use changes. Your current zoning map kind of has commercial up here. In the future, we don't see commercial going that far north. We just don't see the market there for it. So we've changed the land use to parks and open space as an open space corridor. And again, that's a short-term thing. This plan really kind of looks at the next 5 to 10 years is the time frame. So in 5 to 10 years, we'll reevaluate this plan. 10 years, we'll reevaluate this plan. Maybe the market conditions may be different where maybe that could be commercial. But we think now keeping it open space is really important. So that's sort of an overview of the future land use map. Oops, I keep jumping around on this. Sorry about that. Okay, let's see. So that's the future land use map. One of the things that we changed in the report, we enhanced in the report, is we have what's called the land use matrix. And that corresponds to all the colors that you see over here correspond to a land use category. And that matrix explains what is desired in those areas. And we added some pictures in there, so it kind of illustrates the concepts that we're trying to get at. So obviously, if it's an open space category, you want parks, it can be agricultural land, it can be, other types of open space uses. When you see destination commercial, which is the red, that's where you want your sort of big box chain stores to be located. Downtown is called downtown mixed use, and that's downtown. We want to encourage building rehabilitation. We want to encourage possibly new development that has commercial on the first floor and maybe residential on the second and third floor. So we want to be able to concentrate some land uses in there. So we feel like the land use matrix is an important guide tool for the community and for the Planning and Zoning Commission to use as it makes decisions on what happens in these areas. So we did make some enhancements along the way. Let's see if I can get this working correctly. So anyway, each of the categories we have illustrated with photos. So you can review those at the time. So, as I've said, the big part of the plan is downtown. And so we have several different strategies for downtown. But we also look at other different commercial areas. And we're looking at your commercial areas along your corridors, along the 47-34 intersection, as well as other areas. And then industrial as well. Now, I think my colleague probably in January went over the different strategies for downtown, so I'm not going to go into too great detail today. But the strategy map that is on page 96 kind of illustrates some of our major thoughts. The key goals for downtown that we propose in the plan is, one is maintaining the existing historic building stock as much as possible and encouraging facade and building improvements. So that's kind of the yellow that you see in the plan. As I said earlier, one of the big focus points is potentially expanding Bicentennial Riverfront Park, both east and west. And we think that would be a great amenity for the community and to attract visitors and tourists, as well as to have that expanded park. Other recommendations we have is doing streetscape improvements along the way, and then reorienting downtown to Von Ehm and Hydraulic Street rather than 47, because as we all know, 47 now it's a highway, basically. It's a big road now, and it's kind of taking the pedestrian traffic. It discourages a lot of pedestrian traffic along 47, so what we want to do is reorient to Hydraulic Street and Von Ehm Street. And so in the short term, possibly doing some streetscape improvements along those two roads to make it more walkable, more comfortable. Possibly using the site, I keep forgetting the name of the site overall, but the site to the east of 47, that former industrial site. Temporarily using it as parking in the short term, but long term, we could see that a building could go there, a new mixed-use development. Now, one of the illustrations, I'm sorry that we couldn't bring it with us, but our illustrator has been booked for 6 months straight, but we are preparing an illustration of what that streetscape could look like. You know, we think there's a lot of possibility, even with the railroad spur, of making an attractive streetscape environment there. So we think it can be done. So streetscape improvements, potential mixed-use development. We talked about this before several times. You know, if we could take the grain elevator and put a mural on it, repair it, put a mural on it or something, it would be a great placemaking opportunity for the community. Alternatively, we also propose a strategy in the long term that site could be redeveloped in the future. The other areas in the red to the east could also be a redevelopment zone for mixed-use development or for residential development. We think it's a great opportunity to look at that area long-term because the more residents and the more development that closer to downtown, the stronger the downtown would be. Now, the areas in the blue, we have two areas in the blue. One, to the west, where the courthouse is, a potential courthouse or a county complex. There, the county, at least during the early part of this process, has told us that they want to expand their facilities in that area in some way. What way, we don't know at this point, but we think it's an important thing to think about is working with the county and developing that as sort of a county complex. And then to the east, potentially relocating City Hall in that area. So, and again, we kind of took cue from the community. A lot of people told us it would be great to have City Hall or a city complex downtown so that it would be a major anchor in the downtown. So that's sort of the downtown strategies overall. And within the plan, we do propose, you know, we do provide some implementation steps on how all this can happen and how you would phase it in. One of the things is, a key thing is parking management, and we do recommend that the city take a more proactive lead in managing the parking supply in the downtown, because we've heard, at least short-term, that there is some parking issues. People don't know where to park or how long they can park, but controlling land for where if you need a new parking facility somewhere in the downtown, that would be very important, so that's a key strategy. So any questions on the downtown part of it? Okay. Going to the other commercial areas, the plan, as you know, focus is really in your existing commercial areas. We're now proposing any new commercial areas being developed, but we have picked out certain sites, and you're very familiar with these sites. Along the way. So really focusing on infilling these sites as possible. We did take a closer look along 47. And obviously what's driving this is, you know, potential grocery store development. And so what we wanted to do is look at potential sites, not only just for the grocery store, but other commercial development could happen. And the plan does look at about, I think, six different sites. And we've done a couple of extra illustrations in the plan to show how some of these developments could work. On this slide, we have site A, which is the furthest northwest site, which you see there. And we did an illustrative plan of how a grocery store development could happen there. But it doesn't just have to be a grocery store. It could be other types of development. And how you can fit that in within the site. So we show a site there that could have a grocery store with several different outlots there. We did take a look at a site further south, and we kind of understand this is the preferred site. site C, and so we took a look at it two different ways. And again, these are just for illustrative purposes. So if you have a developer that's coming into town looking for sites, they can refer to this plan and see, you know, how it can be. So we're looking at a little smaller development footprints, one to the left has an outlap development, and then the other one to the right on the slide faces 47 and a much smaller footprint there at Site C. So we did take a closer look. We do agree with the community that a grocery source development should be a priority, and these sites should be looked at closely. So moving on, let's see if we can get this view. And then we move further north, and this is right now, as you know, it's a greenfield site, and we did want to take a closer look at it because we do think, again, even though this is long term, this could be 10 years from now, or maybe shorter than that. It just depends on how the growth trends will occur. But we looked at the site along 47 and Old Galena Road, next to the splash park, the water park, and we thought that this would be a key site simply because you do have the water park there, and it does make sense to try to concentrate or encourage commercial development in this area. So we do show a potential, development site plan. We're looking at potentially 50,000 to 60,000 square feet in about, I think, 10 different buildings that could potentially happen. So we think this would be a good spot for commercial development to happen. To the east of that, we do propose a recreation field. It could be a set of ball fields. And mainly this could serve, growth that could happen on the north side of Yorkville in the future. So that site could probably also accommodate an indoor facility, too. It's large enough. And we did hear from the park district that an indoor facility is something that they would think about in the future. So anyway, we did take a look at this site to see what the potential is. And again, this is probably 5 to 10 years down the road. But you never know. The industrial site, so we did take, as I said, we took a look at a couple areas where we think industrial development would grow. And again, market trends are telling us that it's going to be slow for industrial. But we thought, again, we would plan ahead and take a look at this site over here. I don't think it's potentially being an office park setting. This evening, because it's located along the Old Galena Road, and you do have other sort of industrial uses to the west. And then we took a look at the Fox Industrial Park, and then I forget the name of the Village Industrial Park that we have there. Rabula is located.
Yorkville
Business Center. So, but Yorkville Business Center, we're looking at infill sites there. But we think. The Fox Industrial Park has some merit looking at the short term and the long term because the land that's there now to the south, obviously you're connected to the existing industrial park. It'd be located along 71, and we think it would be an appropriate buffer from residential to the east to commercial along 47. So we think it's an appropriate land use. And again, the plan we added in was illustration about how the industrial park could be developed. Maybe long term there could be some redevelopment happening in this existing industrial park. So again, this is long term, but I think we plan it out right now. Okay, moving forward, the residential neighborhood. And our residential strategy really kind of divided between the traditional core in your community and then the subdivision developments that are happening elsewhere. And so the traditional core, it's just an area that bounds downtown. And all we're looking there is to try to encourage, good infill development to happen and maintain the character of that neighborhood. All those neighborhoods around there, so they have very good quality homes. And so we're not recommending a heck of a lot there. So we're just trying to maintain the character of that central local park. So that's key. But we are looking at other areas along Yorkville in terms of residential types of development. And I think I already kind of explained some of this as well. In this slide, we have what is called a future residential land use typology. This is the type of residential we'd like to see happen in the community down the road. And again, just to sort of repeat what I talked about, the green area, we're kind of looking at what is called a state residential or larger lot development, rather than typical subdivisions or a conventional subdivision. And one of the reasons behind that is trying to maintain the character of these areas. So a larger lot development in the green. The yellow we kind of call, we call them suburban neighborhoods. And suburban neighborhoods are where you'd want to refer to your conventional type of subdivisions. We do talk in the plan about what is called a neo-traditional type subdivision development, where it's more of a grid that you would see more of in a more urban neighborhood, and you could perhaps do a little bit smaller lot development if you wanted to. But in the yellow areas, we do kind of encourage a little bit more flexibility in the types of single-family residential that can happen. You see a spot there that's red. That is an area that we're planning for potential metro station area, so we're calling that a TOD district. And then the future land use map, we're just calling that out as an area that if a metro were to come to Yorkville, that would be the area where we want to do some plan that area out. And so we're not really calling out how it should be designed at this point, but think in terms of flexibility in terms of the design there, because I think you can encourage probably smaller lot residential there because you want to have a little bit more density near that train station, a little bit more. Now, we're not talking about high-rises or big apartments, but probably smaller lot development that could happen in that area. And then again, I mentioned already the brown area. We're calling that a mid-density residential area. And that's an area where you may think about doing a little more density, apartments, townhomes, so that you can have those residents closer to the commercial services along 47 and 34. So that's sort of the typology map for future residential. Now, having said that, even though we're planning this all out for the future, we still have to deal with what's the reality right now. And as I'm sure, as you read through the plan, we kind of divided the existing subdivisions outside of the traditional core into four different tiers. And those are, we're classifying them according to where they're at in their development activity. So tier one is the subdivisions that are almost complete. They may need a little more help getting over the finish line. And so we do suggest that there could be another set of incentives or some types of programs that you can encourage future development in these areas. So what we're really recommending in the plan is that the tier one really gets priority here. Tier four is at the opposite end. And I have seen these in the plan. And I think I'll just go right to tier four. Tier four are the areas that have not been entitled or have not been platted. Now, tier three, I believe these are subdivisions that have been platted but not entitled. So these are areas where we recommend that in the overall future land use, they change to either state residential or agricultural or building space because they're just simply not going to be developed in the time frame of this point. So we've made that division there so that as a community, you can make some decisions about what happens, especially in those tier three or tier four areas. So any questions on that?
So you're saying tier three and tier four, just like take it back to original land use, basically, take it back to farmlands, or trying to say?
I think that's a decision, we're not...
What about the place that have infrastructure in the boundary? Can you technically do that?
Well, I think in Tier 4, for sure, there's no infrastructure in there.
For the most part, there has no infrastructure directly to the site. Tier 3, some of them have infrastructure. I think what you're proposing is that they stay neutral or as is in right. Tier 3 and not focus our efforts on developing those areas as we would on Tier 3.
So is that infrastructure deteriorating since it's not being used?
Well, there's a process through the subdivision control where we can require or pull bonds for bonds that we have in place for those developments so that either they are accepted into the city and then the city will maintain them and make sure the infrastructure doesn't go bad, we're in the process of doing that. Actually, this tier system is a reflection of that tier program that we had for looking at all the subdivisions that have expiring bonds and have not had any action within the last 3 or 4 years.
I think tier 4 is probably the only tier where you really seriously want to think about changing the zoning. And again, as I've said, it's similar to some of the commercial areas. We're only thinking in terms of the time frame of this plan, which is 5 to 10 years. And so in 5 years, things can change. And you may want to rethink the tiers and how we've organized it. But we think this is going to go beyond 5 years. I think you're kind of looking out. So I think it is safe. I shouldn't go out on a limb here, but I think, you know, I think it'd be safe to change the zoning in the tier 4 areas. I think at least over 10 years, I don't think you're going to see the demand for those areas. So, we'll see. Anything can change. So, any questions? I know I'm kind of speed reading through the plan, but I want to make sure we get over as much as we can. So, I'm going to let Jim talk about the community systems and infrastructure.
I'll focus more on the draft. It's good to see everybody again. I've sat through several of these meetings, so a lot of the issues have stayed the same. I don't think that we've changed much, but this is an opportunity to review everything again and see if anybody has some final comments. Some of the things we have in the plan, I mean, they're not necessarily plan recommendations for you, but there's a lot of information. I consider a planning document as much a reference as it is a plan, so that when you're reviewing development or other issues in the future, you pull out the plan, you've got a quick reference, and you can go to everything about the community in one document. So with that, we put some information in there about infrastructure, utility systems, roadways. This specific one, I'm confused about this one. Is that the trail system? So as long as I'm on the trail system, we have a couple issues in there. And if you're familiar with that, you also have a trail system plan. And that trail system plan was put into place when the city was going gangbusters. And it was all based upon developers putting things together in the plan and building off-street trails. Well, conditions are a little bit different now. We would suggest that plan needs to be upgraded. You have somewhat of a blessing that's come in from the state. IDOT, probably since you even prepared the last plan, they've changed their policy. And when they rebuild streets, they now put in side paths, which you have gotten the benefit with 47. You went back 5 years ago, just 5 years ago, they weren't doing that. So all of a sudden, we've got some what I call regional trails rather than local trails that have potential to connect way beyond Yorkville. So our thoughts with upgrading the trail system plan at this point would be is you should really be focusing on connecting what you have. Don't worry so much about building out the off-street trail system, but how do you connect everything? And in order to do that, you're probably going to have to do that with your existing street system because it's in place, the infrastructure's there, and you can utilize that existing infrastructure system much more cheaply than you can building new trails. And I think I just pressed, let's see. Now we went wide. And now why is that? Just keep going?
Are you in the display mode, or are you in the mode for presentation?
I think we're in the
No, if you can see the menu box.
So the box with two arrows.
There you go. There you go.
So we should use page
and
down
rather page
than
down.
Page down rather than the arrows.
What? Page down.
Where's page down?
Or just the down.
First page down right there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. You figured it out. Two old guys with a computer.
Yeah. Okay, then that's just the next one. Okay, and then systems and infrastructure. And that's we have mapped out utility lines. There's just a couple points. You know, I think it was a couple meetings ago, we had a discussion about the sanitary district and how they were close to capacity. And we weren't intending to draw, like it was an emergency situation, but, it was just draw attention to the issue. And it was great that the city went out and had a coordination meeting with the sanitary district. I mean, that's the type of thing where we're trying to emphasize that it just needs, from a planning standpoint, needs better coordination. Not necessarily anybody's doing anything wrong, that there's a crisis, but, going forward, especially with new development, things need to be coordinated better. And one of the issues that we brought out is you'll see kind of a squiggly line here. And we're just trying to point out with that is that there's a divide to the north that's going to the Fox River and to the south and to the Illinois River. And it's not, a major issue or a hurdle. We're just drawing out attention to you that divide has an impact as you extend utilities to the south. A little bit different story 10 years ago when you were drawing great guns. Just be aware. Doesn't mean you can't go to the south, but just think about that. As an issue. Okay, press the page down. Okay, there we go. And there are some good issues, I think, in this with this one. The one on the left, and I think it's showing, is that the one showing the development that's in unincorporated areas?
Yes, about.
Yeah. And that's a good map. I mean, it shows a lot of development in purple that's occurred in unincorporated areas around Yorkville. And my question to you is, why is that going on? And I don't know for sure, but I thought with those that they're on a well and septic system, private wells and septic systems. They're not making use of Yorkville's utilities. They really should be. They're not paying taxes to Yorkville. Probably most people think they're in Yorkville. From a coordination standpoint, they really should be in Yorkville. Well, how does that happen? It requires better coordination with the county. That's kind of funny because the county's right here in Yorkville, but that really should be coordinated. What's happening is the developers are playing it. And what are they doing to get the best deal? They can either go to the county or they can go to Yorkville. Maybe they can avoid utilities. But, we talk a lot about unincorporated areas and development, and I like to talk about economies of scale. The more people you get on those utilities, utilities have the capacity, the line capacity for it. You put more people on, your costs will lower. That's one of the reasons. The other reason is for community harmony. A lot of people, unless they're paying their tax bills, probably don't realize that it's an unincorporated area or in an unincorporated area. It really should be done in a coordinated fashion. Some of the other things that we try to draw out too, and again, these are immediate issues. I mean, you can't do it. Probably not going to do much about it overnight, but it's the things to think about as development occurs in the future and issues come up to you here and you have to think about it. City staff, city's done a great job in the past with boundary agreements with the other municipalities. Some of them are going to be coming up over the next 10 years and need to be coordinated. You have a lot of issues on the south. You can see that Millbrook, you don't have an agreement with, and you're starting to go, when you go within a mile and a half, another municipality, you're starting to go into your extraterritorial jurisdiction. You need to start thinking about that. Some of the annexation agreements need updates. Joliet, I think that's Joliet to the south.
Yes.
Yeah, Joliet is starting to go into one of your planning areas. A lot of open area in the south. So just some things to think about in terms of coordination and planning purposes in the future.
Hey, real quick. Page 131, there's a
official Thursday?
It's a bike trail.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a very nice parking lot, if it was at that time.
Yeah, they must have missed the caption. Thanks for catching it.
So I guess that's it for me, unless there's any questions, and I get back over to Nick on open space.
Just a quick question about the annexation stuff.
Yeah.
Is there a bulk way of doing that, or is that parcel?
Oh, no, it's per municipality.
Right.
Oh, I see what you mean, annexation agreements.
You mean the individual ones?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they would have to be annexed into the city, correct?
Yes, they do. And what happens if we surround a particular one more than 60%, then we can forcibly annex them. I don't think that has been the position of the city to forcibly annex. I think before we do that, we can use an annexation plan, which is something that we intend to work on.
So, I guess that's my question. So, an annexation plan is the direction in which you're going to basically absorb the smallest pieces.
Exactly.
Kind of like in order.
Yeah, or what would probably be the first priority are the ones that are commercial in use rather than residential. Residential typically uses more city services than we get out of tax.
Yeah, I think your comment has to do with your probably dealing with annexation agreement with individual property owners, because that's what you get confronted with, and it's usually that's usually the way it's done, because that is more of proactive on the owner's part.
Right.
The city can be more proactive and go out to property owners to try to get property annexed in ahead of time, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Because you got to get out there, and you got to hold referendums, you got to get people to vote on it. It's a lot more proactive, but it also takes a lot of work. And that's why most municipalities don't do it. It's the same thing when if you got an area greater than or smaller than 60 acres and you're surrounding it, you could just annex it. You could just adopt an ordinance and do it. You're probably not, because it usually creates a lot of negative press.
Yeah.
You know, you want to work with the people, and that requires you to be more proactive. It's that same thing. Is that where you want to put your attention? It may or may not be. That's a decision you have to make.
But when we're talking about in the next 10 to 15 years spending like $70 million on a water treatment plant with three other communities, there's going to be people that are going to be not only utilizing the services, but that actually being invested in them. But is there a greater return investing in the time, paperwork-wise, to get those properties to become part of the city, to have them pay future water rate rates, or the kind of, oh, we don't really need, and then keep having me as a resident of a house in the limits, basically share the majority of the burden, since these people, oh, I'm counting, but they're in the freaking city.
Yeah, that's a great thought, and I agree with you. My only comment on that is, from what I think about, is trying to think of a way to put a funding source together for that. Maybe it's not a big funding source, but how are you going to identify the funding source? To get the, probably, I don't know if staff has the time, but maybe staff support to take that type of a proactive effort. And who knows, maybe every time you have a connection onto a utility line, that you have some sort of service fee, and that goes, that sort of thing could pay for it. But I agree with you, because especially with 4-year average things and you're growing out, I think that's a real negative thing, that there's all those unincorporated areas and they're being developed without, the county should be saying, no, go talk to Yorkville.
Right.
We're not going to allow that.
Oh my.
Just the whole property standards too. It's everything from utility payments to property standards to easements to.
Well, not to mention they're using the parks. They're using schools is probably a different matter, but they're using the roads. Yeah. Can I agree?
I believe Amy.
Everyone does.
Apart from the streets and the infrastructure, there is open space and parks, and I've already mentioned some of the major recommendations. One being, at least for the next 5 to 10 year time frame, really looking at expanding Pleasantino Riverfront Park as a major amenity, perhaps exploring whether or not some additional recreation facilities are needed on the north side of Yorkville and on the south side of Yorkville. One of the things that we also talk in the plan, I'm not going to go over to it in a lot of detail, is looking at conservation subdivisions as a tool, not only for residential development, but for providing more open space and parks. Conservation subdivisions are a different type of development in which you'll allow residential to cluster together rather than being separate out in separate lots, but cluster together so that the remaining part of the development stays as open space. And so, I'll talk more about this in the implementation section. It's an option you can offer to developers. If they're going to come and develop certain areas of Yorkville where you feel a conservation subdivision is more appropriate, especially in areas close to the Blackberry Creek or other water areas or special environmentally sensitive areas or even areas that have nice scenic vista views that you want to maintain, is at least offer that option to developers rather than doing the standard subdivision, conventional subdivision. So that is another way in which more open space can be retained. And we made this recommendation because we heard a lot from the community about maintaining. One of the reasons why people move out here is because they love the semi-rural feel. So we want to at least try to protect that. Even though there's a lot more growth, how do we protect some of those qualities? And we think conservation subdivision is an appropriate tool to look at. We didn't drill down into a lot of issues with parks during this planning process. We took a more big picture view, but we do suggest that the Parks Department update their parks plan as a way to sort of take some of these recommendations and drill down into it more. And we do recommend down in the future that maybe a park district get established so that you do have that mechanism in place to fund more park improvements. So, all right. So that's that in a nutshell. Let's see, where else do we go? I'm not going to talk too much about corridors. We do explore specifically in the plan 47 and Elderly Road. 47, both corridors really kind of the strategy that we have, or at least the policy, is try to make sure that what growth happens really is kind of, it's an orderly set of growth, that we have commercial happen in certain areas and maintaining open space in certain areas. I think overall, 47 should remain sort of one of the main commercial arteries as well as 34. But Elderly Road, trying to maintain as much of that character or some of the rural character, especially south of 34. And because there is really kind of a nice topography going down to the Fox River, and there's a nice Elderly Road is very pretty in that area. So we're trying to maintain some of that quality as much as possible. And we do have placemaking recommendations to these corridors as well. But so we, again, I'm not going to talk into great detail. I'm just showing here, Elderly Road going south from the Fox River, and again, we're showing, it kind of staying somewhere rural, at least in the time frame of this comprehensive. We have taken into account whether or not the bridge is long term. It's probably not going to happen in the next 10 years. So we are sort of maintaining existing character as much as possible. Okay, last but not least, in this speed version of the conference, we did add a chapter on what we call stewardship of implementation. And we talked here about who are the partners that are out there that can help us in the funding sources. We do get a little bit more into placemaking, and then how do we use the comprehensive plan? And the funding sources, I'm trying to say usually when we do a comprehensive plan, we kind of list out the available state funding resources. And we've, over the last several months, we've been calling up state agencies about their grant programs, and they say, oh, call us back in about 5 months.
Please.
I'll give you the latest details.
Yeah, it's a couple of years. Yeah.
So I think in the next edition of the plan, we're probably going to list out state funding sources, even though we know that could probably change in your writing. But I think what we added here are the typical funding sources. I'm sure you're all familiar with tax increment financing. Probably, I think you suggested in the plan that that gets used more extensively for the downtown. There are two other tools. One is called the Business Improvement District, and you've heard of special service areas for sure. But in most communities, special service areas are. We're not talking about subdivisions now.
Okay.
But special service areas are used in a lot of communities for revitalization activities in their downtown and their commercial quarters. And so, special service area, I'm sure you know, it's a property tax-based assessment. But communities establish them for their downtown so they have an extra pot of money to use to market and promote the downtown or to undertake building improvements or to install wayfinding signage or parking improvements. So it is used extensively for downtowns, and it's something to look at for downtown Yorkville. I wouldn't say do it next week, but it's something you want to talk about with your property owners down the road. Now, a business improvement district is similar, but it's a sales tax-based assessment. So you would define the area as like a 1% extra sales tax that gets tacked onto the area. And again, you can use that for marketing and promotions and things like that. I think probably the one thing that needs to be looked at when you adopt the plan is making sure that you know, the capital improvements plan, of how we spend capital improvements dollars, we align some of that money for things we want to do in the comprehensive plan. So if you have capital improvement dollars that we could spend in the downtown to do parking improvements or streetscape or other types of efforts throughout the community, that would be important to align the capital improvements plan to this comprehensive plan. Now, one other thing that we kind of float out there in a comprehensive plan, and we think this might be worth looking into. A lot of communities are starting to do this, is to establish an equity and venture fund for economic development purposes. And what it is, it could be a fund that's, there's many different ways to fund it, but it's used to help capitalize startup businesses, and it's used a lot in downtowns to help get downtown businesses going. And a venture fund can be privately funded, like angel investors, I'm sure you've heard the term, come and set up a fund and they use that money to help start up businesses. And so it is something to take a look at, and maybe that could be something your local industries might be willing to help start up so that you could support more business development in the community. So it is something to take a look at. And then obviously there's lots of grant sources and we'll probably add those in the next edition of the plan when it comes to state and federal funding sources. Okay, then there's a couple more slides. We do talk a little bit about potential changes in your codes to help implement some of these things. We did review the subdivision code. We do think it's worth a review of the subdivision code to update some of the standards that are in there. Some of the standards, a lot of communities now are updating subdivision codes to encourage sustainable design features in new developments, any residential developments as well, so taking a look at that. One of the things that we noticed here in Yorkville is we do think we have the standard size cul-de-sacs, they might be the 100 radius cul-de-sacs that you have. A lot of asphalt. There's a lot of rethinking in subdivision design about, even though your fire department's probably going to argue, you need to have it at 100 foot radius. Some communities are starting to shrink those and actually putting in some medians in them, so you green them up a little bit, so you don't have these very heavy asphalt-looking residential subdivisions. So you do have a lot of big cul-de-sacs, and some ways you can green them up and things like that. But anyway, those are just some things. One of the things we kind of noticed as we did our field work is there's some subdivisions where there's not a lot of foundation plantings around foundations. So they have exposed foundations. And those are just some of the kind of the things that we saw in the subdivision curve you may want to take a look at down the road. Lighting, again, kind of going to sustainable design. A lot of communities now are telling the developers you got to put in lead light. You know, those are just some of the things you could think about going forward.
I have a question on the light. Do you have any recommendations about lighting that doesn't point up versus point down? You know, I'm talking about so that you can save the night sky and see the stars for one.
Yeah, good point. There are communities, you've heard of the dark sky movement.
We have an ordinance for the dark sky. Yeah. It's for new
light pollution.
Yeah, light is for new subdivisions. Developments, so it doesn't apply to a lot of the existing developments that we have. New commercial developments, as you mentioned in the actual ordinance, that the standard light standards, but during our review process, we do recommend either deflectors or time lighting, and we make sure that it doesn't cross over the property line as far as what we have to get zero on the property line. So there's places to go over.
Good point. Aaron, when you talked about a conservation subdivision code, we think that you should look into that and develop one. There are many other tribal communities that are looking into that and adapting that. Another form of zoning is called a form-based code. And you see the illustration up here to the right. That's what is called a form-based code. And all I can say to the best example is a zoning code with pictures, basically. And it allows a developer to actually see what the ultimate form of the development should be. And it really regulates the basic form of the building, not so much the use of the building. So we do think that this is something that will explore for your downtown area, where you want to encourage development that what we call pedestrian-oriented. It faces the sidewalk. It fills the block out correctly. It's not set back so much. And it's articulated appropriately for the downtown setting. And so form-based code makes it easier for a developer to understand what the product should be in the long term. So it's something to look at for your downtown down the road. And then another form is a zoning overlay. Some of the suggestions we have for your corridors, if you want to sort of regulate those corridors a little bit more closely, you could do an overlay, which is an extra set of zoning standards. So something to think about. And then last but not least, we talk about placemaking a lot in the plan, and it's in a lot of our illustrative sketches. We have a lot of stars in places. It shows where gateway enhancements should happen or wayfinding signage should be installed in the downtown, in your industrial areas, your commercial areas. And so so we think having a consistent set of wayfinding gateway elements is really an important thing to try to accomplish to help sort of bind the community together, because we heard consistently as we went to different areas or talked to different people as they associated themselves more with their subdivision than with Yorkville. So you could extend it not only from the gateways, but having street signs that have, say, Yorkville on them. So in all new subdivisions, they have to say Yorkville on the street signs. So that's one way in which this sort of provides more visual identity for the community. And in the draft document, we sort of give you sort of an idea of what a family set of wayfinding gateway signage could look like. And then another thing is public art. And a lot of communities are getting into public art as a way to brand their communities. And so one area that would be a natural place for public art would be your downtown. I think when we had our last workshop, community workshop, we had a set of visual images of what some of these, what public art could look like, and we had an image of an iron gateway over a hydraulic street, and several people told us they really loved that idea, having some type of gateway entrance into a hydraulic street if that was to become the new part of the downtown. So those are just some of the things that you can do in public art. A lot of communities are now requiring developers to install public art. I think most communities are trying to do more of a public-private partnership. If you've got, you know, maybe Wrigley Company might pitch in on a sculpture in the downtown. You don't know. So those are just some of the strategies to try to encourage some of that to happen in Brooklyn. And then last but not least, using the conference, kind of where you've kind of talked about that, and I think at the very basic level is a community you want to review the plan once a year, whether it's your planning and zoning commission that does that, or it's the city council that does that. Some communities publish annual reports about how they've implemented the plan as a way to sort of explain to the community, this is what we've done with the document. This is why we did the document, is because we were able to do these things. So, and then I can't stress enough, I think, at least from my experience, I don't know about Jim's experience, but I think one reason why communities, one big reason why communities fail to implement a plan is they don't link it to their capital improvements program. I think that's really key that you have to make that link. So that's it. I know this is kind of a speed date with the comprehensive plan, but I know it's a long document too. But if you have any questions, just let us know, because as I said, we've got about 2 weeks before we meet the economic development committee, and so we want to incorporate as many changes as we can. We need to change this.
Does anybody have any questions or any input that they would want to add? Or
only thing I noticed is that 80% of the pictures are cloudy. The grass is dead.
Oh, stop. My yard
is green grass and gray potholes, not gray sky.
Stop it.
I would like to see
your conception for the downtown.
Well, we're hoping we can get it done by the end of this week. Our illustrator, unfortunately, even though he had a 6-month backlog, he broke his arm in a skiing accident.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Can you do it with your toes? Can't do it with your
hands. Because I see you used the 2005 vision plan that we have, and it's beautiful, by the way. I mean, this is where we're headed. I mean, it's our goal.
Yeah. We have at least one illustration that shows what hydraulic treatment looks like in the future. So we think that's really important to show. So when we get it finished, we'll definitely send it to Christy and she can send it out.
Yes, I'll provide it to all of you. Even though this is your last meeting, I will provide it to you.
And we also, and we didn't include it in this document because it goes hand in hand with the illustration, because part of just to explain that concept, we are showing long term that the brownfield site is redeveloped with a mixed use building, probably 3 stories in it. We are showing that between the rail line and the development as a wide sidewalk, so that you could probably host, you know, a farmer's market or some type of event, maybe outdoor, you know, dining. And then there's a landscape buffer between that and the rail line, so that, you know, people, even though they're going to be next to the rail line, they're going to be able to see down south towards the other side of the street towards the park. So we do show, you know, a wide sidewalk, and we do show streetscape enhancements. We do show the other side with the buildings, with facade improvements. I think we kind of envisioned some of those buildings being converted into stores or restaurants and what's there. So that's kind of the illustration, and we have prepared sort of a roadway cross section of how that sidewalk space will look next to the rail line. Because I think a lot of people asked us, how can you do something next to that rail line? But there's plenty of communities that have done really great things next to rail lines. And so we want to show the cross-section of how they look. So there's a few more bit of stuff that we'll send to you.
I used to live in Lyle, and we were talking about these kinds of subdivisions, and Green Trails was a great example. And it was built 35 years ago. The open space, even though houses were closer together, they really didn't have sidewalks in the front. They had all the trail system to get from here to there behind the house.
Sure. And,
something to look at in the back, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was a way to sell, a concept.
Yeah.
And also look pretty.
Nick, will you be presenting sort of a summary review to the City Council at the next meeting or anytime soon?
Well, I anticipate we will present to the City. I think we are going to present to the City Council in August.
Yes, the schedule that we have, and this is tentative, is the July 5th PDC meeting, the July 13th Planning Commission, Planning Board, whichever one we have at the time. And then City Council, August 9th, and that'll just be the first reading, so maybe just a presentation of the plan, and then the City Council's final consideration will be August 23rd.
The final one is August 23rd?
August 23rd.
I'd like to, maybe at some point with City Council, and you can talk to Gary, is to recognize at least the members, of this board, too, because I think it's... I think we put a lot of time in it. It's all volunteer, obviously. So I think we've always had a good representation, showing up and, getting that all together. I think that's important because it's always impressive to me knowing how many committee meetings that we've always been to and seen and how many you have to cancel because we don't have people showing up. So it's been really great that you guys have been coming and participating in this. So I appreciate that. So
yeah.
Myself, so I would love to... City Council to recognize.
Yeah.
Okay. Any of those, yeah. To just recognize that, working hard with, the Lakota group and putting it all together.
You've been a great steward.
Yeah.
That's been great
to work. Well, you guys have been great. This has been really nice to be a part of, hopefully, a good part of the future of this town, so, and this city.
Now we just need to implement.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's the easy part.
Well, anytime you have any kind of positive ideas and directions, to either it's hope, and it, I think it speaks well and lends well to, the city staff and, and getting more development in there, knowing that we have plans for the future. So I think it's been really great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, do we have a motion to adjourn if there's nothing else?
I was just going to say, if you have any comments, please send them to Christy. It's not too late. There are some typos in there still, we have to clean up. But maybe change up some photos. But if you have any other additional comments, please send them on to Christy.
Did you guys write the motion on the statement?
Joel, any second?
Motion to August 6th.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.